5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thursday night football to kick off week number three of this 2024 NFL season. It's how we kick off hour number two live right here on this Thursday morning on the early line on Sports Grid. He is Donnie. I am Ben. So DRS, let's continue to dive through this matchup to start off this second hour around the National Football League. It kicks off week number three. It's a divisional duel. The Jets and the Patriots for New York's home opener out in East Rutherford, New Jersey, inside MetLife Stadium. The Jets are nearly a touchdown favorite over the Patriots on this short week. 38.5 is the number. As we look at the New York Jets, last week was just their 10th game as the favored side with Robert Saleh as their head coach since he took over the reins of gangrene back in 2021. They did cover. They are now 6-4 straight up, 4-5-1 against the spread. The Patriots last year, DRS, when they won only four games in the 24th and final season under Bill Belichick, were an underdog 12 times. They were 4-7-1 against the spread. Not good even keeping games close when they were not expected to win said football game. This year, though, 1-0-1 against the spread. The outright victory, the largest upset of week number one with the largest spread of the opening Sunday slate of the season in Cincinnati. And last week, they closed as only a 3-point home underdog against the Seahawks. Game goes to overtime. Seattle wins 23-20. But earlier in the week, that line was 4.5 in favor of Seattle, even 3.5 by the time we reached the weekend in favor of the Seahawks. So the Patriots moving markets and keeping games a lot closer than we anticipated entering this season.
Yeah, the MO of this football team is we're going to try to play some good defense here. We're going to run the football. We're going to limit the mistakes. And we have Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, which means we have a game manager, not actually a game winner. And that's okay, because coming into the year, we were laughing at the New England Patriots roster. And I do have to, give that credit to Gerard Mayo. He's playing with just the cards that he's dealt right now, and he's playing very well with those cards. Here's the issue coming into it. What do we know about the New England Patriots and what they want to do in this football game in this season? They want to hand the football off to Ramondre Stevenson. That's a recipe for success. But in order to do that, Ben, you have to have a very good offensive line, and more importantly, a healthy offensive line. They don't have that coming into tonight. Multiple guys banged up, not starting there, and the guys that are playing are banged up just to start the football game in itself, because you would see the first 2 weeks, San Francisco ran absolutely wild on that Jets front here, which was surprising to me. Yep. And week number two, the Titans still had a lot of success on the ground. So you're saying, oh, this fits like a glove. The New England Patriots should run wild on the New York Jets. That should be a telltale sign that if your offensive line is banged up, maybe you don't have that much success. And also, if you go to the FanDuel Sportsbook and say to yourself, I know New England wants to run the football. Ramondre Stevenson is going to get the bulk of the carries. Look at his total tonight, 64.5. It's not 75.5. It's not 81.5 at this point. It's 64.5, almost baiting you in. But they should be able to run the football quantity-wise, but how much yards are they actually going to get? And will the Jets be able to say, all right, this is one of those teams, Ben, I can put eight in the box routinely against your banged-up offensive line, and you'll be just ramming your head against a brick wall all through the game just to see if you can bust a run or two at this point. That's the way I play it out, because usually you say, no, get on Ramondre Stevenson. Anytime touchdown market over his rushing prop, and maybe it does work, and maybe he gets, let's just say, 15 to 20 touches on the ground and maybe a touch or two in the passing game. That should be enough for the 64.5, but I think it's priced appropriately just saying to yourself, you know what? That offensive line might not be right tonight, which means you might not get great blocking.
And DRS, that's one of the first areas I looked. It's one of my favorite prop bets that was one of the few I hit on a difficult week two Sunday slate for me in terms of the FanDuel Sportsbook. Ramondre Stevenson over 16.5 rushing attempts. He had 21 carries for 81 yards and a touchdown against the Seahawks. He had 25 carries for $120 against Cincinnati. They have fed him the football. They are trying to take the onus off of Jacoby Brissett. Frankly, they're trying to shorten football games and make it as competitive as possible. It's why they are 1-0-1 against the spread this year. Total last week against Seattle, 39.5 for New England. It went over in regulation with 40 combined points, but ever so slightly. And to your point, DRS, about the Jets, they allowed 130 last week against the Titans. Of course, Jordan Mason went off week number one that Monday night for $147. San Francisco had about 180 as a team. And for a Jets defense that had all of the onus on them last year, right, the weight of the world on their shoulders to keep games competitive, they weren't great defending the run, where they were pretty good everywhere else. Eighth worst rushing defense in the NFL a season ago, allowing nearly 125 yards per game. So could be an area that the Patriots could benefit, but the offensive line concerns for New England are very, very sound. DRS, as we look at the quarterbacks, of course, on this Thursday night, Jacoby Brissett not expected to do much, 163.5. Aaron Rodgers, 215 and a hook. He has been well under that number in each of the first two games this year. Never more than 180. But you said this earlier, Geno Smith threw for 327 yards against that Pats passing defense a week ago. Is this the night we see the most passing production out of Aaron Rodgers so far in 2024?
It seems like it should play out that way, but also, again, we might not be getting that other side of the coin, which means that New England Patriots offense that's going to keep the Jets' feet to the fire on offense. You might get one of those games that just within 3 or 7 the whole game, let's not make the mistakes, play action passes, keep it short, move the chains. That's my only worry. But if you're saying, okay, Donnie, let's just take it to the realm, free bet here on Aaron Rodgers, 215.5. Home opener here. 215.5 is not a big number for Aaron Rodgers. And I understand the start to the season hasn't shown like, hey, he's thrown for 300-plus yards and multiple touchdowns every game. 215 is not a high number. You look at his touchdown prop here tonight, also passing over 1.5. That's a plus money number at a plus 120. How many times in Aaron Rodgers' career did he have a 1.5 number at a plus money? It's usually always minus. And also, just to let you know what we're thinking about the explosiveness of both of these offenses, you very rarely see this. Jacoby Brissett has that 163.5, which is hilarious. That's like just in Fields territory last year with the Chicago Bears. But look at his touchdown prop. To throw one of them is a minus 160. You might say, oh, that's juicy. That's not juicy here. Usually to throw one touchdown, it's minus 280. It's minus 320. It's minus 400, because that's what quarterbacks are supposed to do in football games. But this year, nobody's throwing for any touchdown passes. So for Brissett to throw one at a minus 160 price is just about hilarious on that level, which also shows you the type of offense they run and the wide receivers. They trust their running backs, not their wideouts here. And we'll see how that plays out. Yeah. But for Aaron Rodgers, I expect a good night, but I don't know how good the night can actually be, because quite frankly, hey, look, 2 touchdown passes, $180 in air, that might be enough to win and cover this football game against the New England Patriots.
Yeah, it really might be. And again, it's a large spread. It's 6.5 in favor of the New York Jets. The total is not overly high, but the Jets did cover last week as a 3.5-point road favorite in Nashville. Aaron Rodgers only threw it 21 times in his season debut against San Francisco. 30 attempts last week, 2 touchdown passes, each to a running back. We'll talk about Breece Hall in just a moment. And the rookie, Braylon Allen, who had 2 scores last week for New York. You know who was New England's leading rusher last week? Antonio Gibson. DRS, We've got rushing plus receiving yards props, not just for Ramondre Stevenson and Breece Hall, but both of the backup running backs as well on this Thursday night. If Aaron Rodgers hasn't eclipsed 180 yards this year, Jacoby Brissett has not gone over a buck 50. Last week, 149 yards and a touchdown against Seattle. 109 of those 149 to his tight end, Hunter Henry, 8 grabs on 12 targets. His prop tonight, just 34 and a hook. Garrett Wilson stands out to me. If we think, DRS, that the New York Jets are going to have success through the air tonight, Garrett Wilson, who has not gone over this number so far this year, this could be an area to look. And his anytime touchdown prop at plus 145, he hasn't scored yet this year either. If the aerial attack is good for the Jets tonight, led by Aaron Rodgers, that would be two areas that certainly have my eye.
No, certainly does. And also Alan Lazard, a couple touchdown passes on the season here, clearly knows Aaron Rodgers from his Green Bay days. And this number only sits at 28.5. But I agree. Sooner or later, Garrett Wilson is your number one wide receiver. And last week, he wasn't even getting to that 50-yard mark. Brilliant pass late in the game where he made a nice catch of 20 or 30 yards. Otherwise, he has like 30 yards for that game. Sooner than later, Garrett Wilson's going to have to break out, and he's going to have to be in that red zone threat. Not your running back scoring touchdowns in the air, Ben.
We'll talk about the running backs quickly and a couple offensive rookie of the year odds updates next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So Garrett Wilson won Offensive Rookie of the Year 2 years ago, and now Aaron Rodgers is his quarterback. His receiving yards prop 64.5, but he hasn't caught a touchdown this year. In fact, Aaron Rodgers in week number one in the season debut for the New York Jets did throw a touchdown to a wideout, his former teammate in Green Bay, Alan Lazard, who had 2 touchdown grabs, one from Rodgers, one from Tyrod Taylor in week number one against San Francisco. 2 touchdown tosses from Rodgers last week in Nashville, DRS, both going to the running backs, Breece Hall and Braylon Allen. Braylon Allen, 20 years, 239 days old this past Sunday in Tennessee, the youngest player in NFL history to score 2 scrimmage touchdowns in a single game. And Breece Hall has been really good so far this season, as we expected him to be the cornerstone of this offense until Aaron Rodgers, the 40-year-old quarterback, could dust off some of that rust. Hall, 93 total yards in both games. Last week, DRS, 8 targets, 7 receptions, 52 yards in the receiving category in a touchdown. Braylon Allen last week, 56 total yards, 2 total touchdowns. You can see what Breece Hall is expected to do tonight. Flirt with that 93-plus scrimmage yards, 62.5 for his rushing yards prop, 31.5 from the receiving yards component, minus 180 to hit Pater. How much of your focus is going to be on Breece Hall for this Thursday night football game?
I'm waiting for the spot to really take Breece Hall. And the reason I bring that up is, like, the first couple weeks, you've played a very good defense in San Francisco, another very good defense with Tennessee. And you're going to get a quality defensive opponent tonight in a slower game tempo against New England. Because I truly believe, like, once he gets to, like, a bottom 15 or bottom 20 defense, Ben, we're looking at 18 carries, a buck 35, and 2 scores out of Breece Hall. Maybe you get that tonight because I do think the running game is going to be there all 4 quarters because I don't think anybody's going to run away with the game. And if they do, it's probably more from a Jets perspective as New England Patriots. So I do think it's viable at 62.5, but you have to take a look at last week. Kenneth Walker III didn't play in that game for Seattle. Charbonnet, what did he have? 35, 40 yards in that game. You take a look at week number one, the Cincinnati game. They didn't rush for too many yards in that game either. So it's not as if saying I'm licking my chops to really get after Breece Hall in this game because I think he's going to have a dominant night. But 62.5 isn't a lot. If you're the starting running back for an NFL football team in a game that we think probably stays somewhere in the 30s and you have the lead, Breece Hall better be taken down 15-plus to 20 carries in that game, which means he should get 62.5. I'm not in love with it because, again, I'm still trying to struggle how we're going to get a lot of points in this game. And a lot, I don't even mean Ben 55. Just like 42, 43 points here, 23-20 type final, you should be able to get that. Right. So if I'm looking from the perspective, and I know you brought it up already, rushing and receiving, because he is a pretty good catcher out of the backfield. And if you get that 1 or 2 screen passes, we're going to have, 2 catches for 26 yards. That would really help out. And so that's the scenario that I probably would look at. I love tonight. I think he can get the 62.5. I'm just not in love with it.
Yeah, DRS, you would think game script-wise, right, 6.5-point spread in favor of the Jets, expected to win this game comfortably, but not many points out there. If the Jets are in front and it's 17-6 midway through the third quarter, do they start to run the football even more? Is that even Breece Hall? Could we see some Braylon Allen? 38.5 is his rushing plus receiving yards prop on this Thursday night football game for the rookie out of Wisconsin. And just one final point, the Patriots' second best rushing defense in the NFL so far this year, only allowing 58 yards per game, 70 on the road in Cincy, less than 50 last week at home against Seattle. So again, we talked about Garrett Wilson, your offensive rookie of the year, now 2 years ago in 2022. Last year, it was a quarterback for the third time in the last six seasons. It was CJ Stroud, who pretty much won the award by week six or week seven. This year, DRS, we've seen three rookie quarterbacks make two starts each of the first 2 weeks. Nobody thrown a touchdown so far this season. J.J. McCarthy has many passing touchdowns as any of the three quarterbacks who have started. Same for Drake May and Michael Penix Jr. All goose eggs for the six quarterbacks taken in the opening round in 2024. Of course, most damning for Caleb Williams, for Jaden Daniels, who's been pretty good in other components and at least efficient with the football, and Bo Nix, who does not have any passing touchdowns but does have four interceptions, multiple in each game.
I'll tell you what's interesting, too, because this is not just a rookie pandemic right now. We're not throwing touchdown passes. The lowest amount of touchdown passes through 2 weeks, I believe, since like 2006, which is incredible. And I always talk about in the early months is where you love the team totals over. You love the high-flying offenses because everybody is healthy and the weather is nice. What's going to take a look at, Ben, we get to the end of October and November and December in some of these cold air cities? Is it just going to be the running game? Is that like the new institution where running backs are getting paid now? Rightfully so, because that's the only guys that can actually score touchdowns at a high rate. We're waiting for that breakthrough. And again, tonight, you're going to watch a Thursday night football game with two quarterbacks that one is a Hall of Famer who we're saying like maybe he can throw two touchdowns, and Jacoby Brissett is priced that's saying like don't even think about taking him as a touchdown prop. But those rookies, if we're being honest, right? Caleb Williams through 2 weeks, if you would have told me before the season started, here's his wide receiving core, here's how talented he is, he hasn't thrown a touchdown pass yet. Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy last year and was throwing it all over the lot for LSU. No touchdown passes just yet. Now, May, of course, hasn't started. Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, we get it. But the same, like, Bo Nix is throwing like 40-plus times a game and hasn't had a touchdown pass yet. It's incredible, man. Where has the offense gone, Ben?
It really is incredible, DRS. And again, when you look at the numbers this year for the rookie quarterbacks, it has been disappointing. The only good thing for Jaden Daniels, I will say, outside of the two rushing scores, he's been efficient with the football. His completion percentage is third best in the NFL at 75.5. As you compare that to Bo Nix, he's under 60%. And Caleb Williams, I don't even think, he does, 56.1%. It has not been good for the other rookie quarterbacks, which has led to changes in the offensive rookie of the year odds. Donnie, it's often difficult for a quarterback to win this award because you need to put up C.J. Stroud-like numbers. At least the expectation is lead your team to winning ways. Jaden Daniels has a win. Caleb Williams has a win. The Broncos are 0-2. But Daniels and Williams now co-favorites alongside Marvin Harrison Jr. at plus 320. Of course, MHJ exploded onto the scene in week two after a quiet career debut in week one.
It should be that way because we're just expecting the young rookie quarterbacks to run away with this thing and say, okay, well, maybe Marvin Harrison needs 1,700 yards and 15 touchdowns to compete. These quarterbacks have been so bad through the air to start. It's right that Marvin Harrison Jr. is up there because at least he woke up in week number two.
For sure. And maybe you think, okay, I've got a good place on the rookie quarterbacks, not based on what we've seen yet. Final day of the WNBA regular season next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It is the final day of the WNBA regular season, game 40 for all 12 teams around the W tonight. And unlike last year, DRS, 8 of the 12 teams making the postseason, we had 4 of those teams sub 500. It's more competitive basketball here throughout the WNBA campaign in 2024. We will show you what is at stake for the playoff seeding tonight in all of those clinching scenarios where 7 of the 8 teams have already clinched a playoff spot, and not much of the seeding, even among the top 6, really can change. What is at stake is a battle between 3 organizations for the 8th and final playoff spot around the W. It's the Atlanta Dream, the Chicago Sky, and the Washington Mystics, all battling for that 3rd and final spot. So here are the games, a 6-way header. How do you say 6? Is it sestuplet? Centuplet? You know, if we're trying to do like quadruple, triple header?
What is it?
Sextuplet?
I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway, 6 games tonight for the WNBA final day of the regular season on this Thursday. So pay attention to some of these spreads and what is at stake. It is sextuplet. Sextuplet. That doesn't feel right saying it out of my mouth, to be honest with you. Anyway, the Connecticut Sun, 13.5-point home favorite against the Chicago Sky. The New York Liberty, only a point favorite against the Dream. Why? We're not expected, or point underdog, excuse me. We're not expected to see many starters for New York, as the Liberty already have clinched the top overall spot in the WNBA standings entering the postseason. Home floor advantage throughout. And the Dream need a win to get in to the playoffs. The Mystics, 2-point home favorite against Indiana. The Fever, their first playoff berth since 2016. They've already clinched the number 6 seed based on tiebreakers with Phoenix. The Lynx, 3.5-point home favorite against the Sparks, who have already been eliminated. The Aces, 2-point home underdog DRS in a very difficult place to go into and win. Michelob Ultra Arena there on the Strip. But Dallas, even against Dallas, who is out of postseason consideration, that is intriguing. And the Storm take on the Mercury tonight as well. Those are the 6 games. We'll tell you the playoff scenarios in just a moment.
I'll tell you, the worst case scenario, too, and again, you do this to yourself as a basketball team, but if you're scoreboard watching out there, you go, all right, awesome. The Dream got to play the Liberty, the best team in the WNBA. And it's like, well, hold on now. The Dream are going to play the Liberty on their home court and probably walk away with a victory because the other team isn't playing here. You did it to yourself. But theoretically, if both of those teams were saying, okay, we both want to win this game, the Dream probably get blown off the court. So shame on you if you're scoreboard watching and you feel like you were wronged. Maybe you should have won a game or two earlier in the season where you didn't have to scoreboard watch tonight. So that's the takeaway. But I do like the fact that everybody's playing tonight and there still is something up for grabs. It's nice. But also, the teams that like the Liberty can clinch that number 1 seed. They've earned every right to sit everybody in this game and just get ready for the postseason.
So when you look at the odds, again, it should tell you a story. Let's start with the top. Connecticut, 13.5-point home favorite. Are the Sun tonight? They're a game in front of the Aces for what is the difference in the 3-4 spot on the standings. Why is that interesting? Chicago needs a victory to get into the postseason. Yeah. And unlike the Aces being a home dog and the Liberty being a slight home underdog, Connecticut is a hefty 13.5-point favorite. They are trying to hold off Las Vegas for that better seed line as they have lost all 3 games to the Aces this year. If the Sun were to lose and the Aces were to win, Las Vegas would get the 3 spot, Connecticut the 4 based on tiebreaker. That could be intriguing for home floor advantage throughout the postseason and your matchups as you go. I don't know if you want the 3 spot, though, because you're going to take on Indiana in the Fever are absolutely booming as we go through the end of this year. Here is what is at stake, clinching scenarios for that 8th and final spot. The Dream, the Mystics, and the Sky, all in the running. Atlanta, win, they are in. All 3 of those teams lose, the Dream also make it. The Mystics win, the Dream and the Sky both lose. Somehow, some way, Atlanta still earns the final playoff spot. Washington and Chicago win, the Dream lose, Washington gets in. The Sky win, the Dream and the Sticks lose, Chicago gets in. The Sky have dropped 4 games in a row. They've lost 4 of 5 since Angel Reese announced that she would be out for the rest of the year with a wrist injury. She had surgery about 1.5 weeks ago.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be – it's tough, too, because you figured that we wanted the Sky in there to make sure we got that superstar power energizing the playoffs here. But it's just a bad break there, no pun intended at that point, for Angel Reese. Hopefully she comes back next year stronger. But also, we're waiting to see what the Fever have, man. Is this one of those teams that said, you know what, we're rested now after that Olympic break. Caitlin Clark's playing great basketball. What damage can they do in the playoffs? One thing we know, Ben, we'll be watching.
We will be watching. The Mouth of the South joins us next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Not only does week three of the National Football League season start tonight, week four of the college football campaign does as well. And it's a great Saturday slate. Three ranked versus ranked games, four ranked versus ranked games for the entirety of the weekend, including a big ball game tomorrow in Lincoln, Nebraska. So to get you set for everything, the mouth in the South. We'll go through some SEC picks in just a second. But Mark Zeno is here on this Thursday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Zeno, great to have you here once again.
Gentlemen, I mean, this is better than Christmas morning every Thursday when I get to do this, guys. Wow. So, and I enjoy watching Ben make apoplectic faces at the things that I say, and DRS going, I see, yeah. So
yeah,
it's quite a harmonious mood we have.
Pretty good summary of how these segments go, and you're here for a full half hour, my favorite time. Anyways, you know, let's get set for one of the marquee matchups on the slate. Top 20 tilt in Ann Arbor, USC's Big Ten debut, and the Big Ten opener for the Maize and Blue at home in the Big House. And yet here we are with the Wolverines for a second time this season as the reigning national title winners, a home underdog near a touchdown. They got blown out week two by Texas. They have not covered in non-conference play so far this season. And the Trojans, now a 5.5-point favorite against Michigan. When the line opened up during the summer, Michigan was nearly a double-digit home favorite, laying 9.5. Maybe the reigning national champs not as good as we anticipated in their title defense. And maybe Southern Cal is better than we thought through the first 3 weeks, two games for USC to start off this season. Zeno, how do you make sense of the line now with USC laying 5.5 on the road in Ann Arbor?
The number feels right. I mean, look, it's hard to bet against Michigan at home, particularly because of their defense. And it's fair to say at this point in time that USC hasn't faced a defense of this caliber. I mean, LSU, who they scored 27 off of, it's an SEC defense, so it's still good. But it's not one of those things where you look at them and go, that's as elite defense as Michigan is. Guys, I like the under here, particularly in the first half as well. Like, if we do some transitive property here, Texas only managed 31 against the Wolverines. I don't think USC's offense, even with Mitch Moss playing as well as he has, is at the same level as the Longhorns. So you have to believe that Michigan can keep them under 30 here. And do you really trust Michigan's offense to put up more than 10 to 14 in this game? I don't know that I do. I think the total is the right number. I would look at a first half under. If this thing doesn't stay under early, it's not staying under late. And really what it boils down to is how much can Michigan score. If Michigan gets a 20, this thing will go over. I just don't think they'll do it there. I think this is more of a 23-14 kind of final, and that's what happens.
Yeah, we'll see how many times Michigan runs the football in that game, going to more a run-centric quarterback as opposed to a pocket passer. Should be a good one there in Michigan. But also, how about the Big 12 here, Mark, getting underway? Utah and Oklahoma State, two unbeaten teams, each 3-0. We look at the lines here at the FanDuel Sportsbook here in New Jersey, opened up as a -1.5-point favorite for Oklahoma State. That now sits at 2.5 and a total of 52.5. What are the expectations for you from Utah and Oklahoma State this week?
I mean, look, I get all the love for Oklahoma State, but you got to realize in this 3-0 start, they've actually been outgained by -16 yards per game. Like, that's not a trend that I want to back, guys. That's not a team that I want to get behind that can't outgain their opponents, because the more you do that, the more likely you are to lose games. You're going up against a very good Utah team that's well-coached, that's always had a stout defense. I just don't know. You get Cam Rising, you know, who's coming back to this contest here, maybe a little extra motivation for the Utes offense. It's hard not to back Oklahoma State at home, but I can't get past kind of that yardage thing for me to believe that Oklahoma State is as good. For all intents and purposes, they should have lost the game to Arkansas. I think we viewed this whole match widely different if they end up losing that game. Arkansas dominated them for a better part of that contest, and it's just – I'll probably pass on it, but I would lean Utah, as the rest of bettors have, taking this number from 3 to 2.5.
Well, it's been a very interesting market move on this game. Oklahoma State opened as a 2.5-point favorite on the FanDuel Sportsbook just yesterday and earlier this week. Utah was a slight favorite, laying nearly 2.5. Some may be thinking that Cam Rising would be back. We know what the injury status fiasco and disco dance can be with the Utes, as we saw all last year with Cam Rising, who did not play a single game in 2023. Now the line works back to the Pokes, nearly a field goal favorite at home. Could that be an indication from those that know in those risk rooms that Rising is not going to suit up and play for Utah on Saturday in their Big 12 debut in Stillwater? It's very difficult to get a true sense of. I'll say this. We have two of the longest tenured head coaches in college football, each at 20 years. Kyle Whittingham for Utah, Mike Gundy for Oklahoma State. Of four teams, you know, that have been FBS programs for the last two decades in full, Utah is one of the four to have a cover percentage as an underdog at 60% or better. The other three, Ohio State, Clemson, and Boise State. And Utah has been an underdog much more frequently than that of the Buckeyes or the Tigers. Now let's go to another game, our fourth of the ranked versus ranked games. This will include Tennessee and Oklahoma on the other side of the break. The kids get the day off tomorrow in Lincoln, Nebraska. School has shut down. The campus getting ready for Friday night lights and a top 25 tilt for Nebraska as they host Illinois. The first time the Cornhuskers have hosted in a ranked versus ranked game against an AP opponent since 2013. And it's a spread that's also been changing. Earlier in the week, 9.5 in favor of the Huskers against 24th-ranked Illinois. Now closer to a touchdown, 7.5 in favor of Nebraska. 43 and a hook to total for two teams that have been really good defensively so far this season. Zeno, what's the handicap? What's the breakdown for Friday Night Lights tomorrow in Lincoln?
If you think Nebraska's going to trip up and you think Illinois is going to be a viable play here, senses are, you know, I don't want to cut a game in half like this because, you know, there's a – obviously, you know, Nebraska could be up by three and a late touchdown gets them a cover, something along those lines. But I get the sense that if Illinois is going to hang in this game, they're going to have a lead at the end of the first half. They're going to end up being able to control the pace in the outset. And Dylan Raiola and this Nebraska offense, it all of a sudden looks like it's as good as any in the country at this point in time, because Raiola, we know, can sling it. We've seen it. There's enough evidence of it. I mean, the kid can play, and he certainly has given people reason to believe that Nebraska's offense is every bit as legit as they have shown at this point. I mean, here's the real rub, guys. I mean, when it comes to Illinois' defense, and you're looking at, you know, how good they've been, do you believe that the quarterbacks on both sides matter, right? It's Dylan Raiola versus Luke Altmyer, and where is the edge? I think the edge was with Raiola. The edge is obviously with Nebraska at home, but this number to me feels like it's hard to bet and cover, as really Nebraska is tested for the first time. I don't count Colorado as a test because their defense was so bad. And, oh, by the way, that could have been much worse than 28-10. Remember, they scored all 28 points in the first half and didn't score a single one in the second half because Colorado couldn't do anything against Nebraska's defense. So I trust the Nebraska offense here. I don't feel comfortable laying 7.5, but I think it's the Illini in the first half. Nebraska, you know, kind of may pull away late here. I think this thing also stays on. I feel like this is a matchup, especially early, where both these teams will play it slow. They'll check each other. Neither one wants to make the first mistake. So I think the pace is a little bit slower in the first half.
Unders in all three games for both of these two teams this year. Two great scoring defenses. Illinois playing like the best scoring defense from the last time they were ranked in 2022. Nebraska ranked for the first time since 2019, the highest they have been ranked since 2016, the first 3-0 start for the Cornhuskers since that point. We have a ranked versus ranked matchup in Lincoln, for the first time featuring two teams ranked inside the AP top 25 since 2013. They are starting to say the Huskers are back. Nebraska, one of four FBS programs, along with Tennessee, Texas, and Ole Miss, to be a favorite in all three games this year and cover in all three. Mark Zeno becomes the mouth of the South next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on this Thursday on the Early Line, setting the stage for week number four of this 2024 college football season. Mark Zeno is here, but we're about to dive into SEC country, which means he becomes the mouth in the South, and it's now time for his SEC picks. Four ranked versus ranked matchups in week four. One on Friday, of course, in Lincoln, Nebraska, between the Cornhuskers and the Illini of Illinois. And a top 15 tilt in Norman, Oklahoma, for the first ever game for OU as an SEC program. And who do they get to host? The most dominant team in college football this season. That would be Tennessee. The Volunteers, you know, a 7.5-point road favorite as the sixth-ranked team in the country against number 15, Oklahoma, in Norman. A 7.5-point favorite, greater than a touchdown. In fact, Mark Zeno, this is the first time for a ranked Oklahoma team as a home underdog in Norman of 4 points or greater since 1978. Is the spread too large in favor of the Volunteers, or does it feel fitting for this matchup on Saturday night?
Well, what I will say, what didn't feel fitting was the title on top of that board, a Midwest matchup. This is the SEC. A little SEC showdown would have been fine. That's all you needed to do, Midwest.
Well said. Great alliteration, Mark. Great alliteration. That would have been really great.
Could be a copywriter, but I also could be an Oklahoma backer this weekend because the 28th-ranked Sooners defense is what I'm really relying on here. Look, you know, Tennessee's gaudy offensive numbers are a product of two things. One, they didn't play anybody. Two, you know, they've had the fortunate pleasure of not having to play a true road game. And this is an environment that's going to be completely different. When you get these teams, guys, who you have played 3 weeks of football and they're playing their first true road game, the cover rate is really low in the first true road game. That 7.5 was a key number here that we're going to look at. Again, I think if Tennessee is going to win this game and going to cover this game, they have to make Oklahoma play from a negative game script, right? They have to get out very quickly, and they have to figure out a way to make Jackson Arnold the key player for Oklahoma at this point in time. Like, he has to be able to carry the team. And I don't know that we've really seen that in two matchups against Houston and Tulane. Temple doesn't count. They might be one of the worst five teams in the country. But you're talking about a guy really, you know, that's hasn't thrown for 200 yards passing yet. That's the way Tennessee covers this game. They get out to an early lead, and they force Oklahoma to offensively play catch-up. But doing that against this 28th-ranked defense is not going to be easy. So if Oklahoma sets the tone early, is able to force some three-and-outs or some punts and keep them off the scoreboard, then guess what? They're going to have a great chance to stay in this game. I think the environment's going to be a little bit overwhelming for Tennessee and their young quarterback, despite how much – and I'm not even going to try to butcher his last name.
Say his name!
I know. Nico I. That's where I go. It took me about a year and a half to get DJ Uyong out. You know, so it'll take me about a year and a half to get Nico. Yeah, well, I mean, he is 27, has been playing college football for 9 years, so I should know it by now. But that's neither here nor there. Yeah, someone should tell DJU to hang it up. It's not going well. Anyway, we move on. All that said, I like Oklahoma this weekend.
All right, we have a missed opportunity here because a 12 o'clock game is going to start in Stark, Vegas. This should be 3:30. We should be bringing back Vern Lundquist and Gary Danielson together in the booth to watch this game because Florida, yeah, exactly. If they take a loss, Billy Napier, who knows if he's coming back to town or even making it to the tarmac. Mississippi State, fresh off of getting destroyed, not by USC, not by Alabama, not by Auburn, by a MAC team in Toledo in their own building. 6.5-point favorite for Florida. 58 total here. What gives? Florida or Mississippi State? My goodness, what a Titanic battle here.
Yeah, and it's a good thing you used the word Titanic because one of these ships is absolutely sinking after this game is over. I mean, forgive the graphic, but this just feels like, you know, both of these teams are sitting there with a gun to the back of their head, and whichever one loses, the bullet's going to get fired. It's going to be over, right?
Goodness.
Between Jackson and Billy Napier, it's just like none of this ends up well. Someone's going to get bloody at the end of this thing here. Here's the rub, though. I mean, Mississippi State, the fact that they are an underdog at home here, that Florida's laying 6 points despite the variety and legion and litany of problems that they have across the board – Mississippi State is 0-5 against the number at home off a home game, and they are 0-9 against the spread as dogs when coming off a double-digit loss. I mean, oh, by the way, Mississippi State has on deck Georgia, Texas A&M, and Texas waiting for them.
Brave one. Yeah.
Like, if they don't win now, this could be a winless season, right? Like in the SEC, like a winless SEC season. If they don't get this game, they are in a world of trouble. I think, you know, the knoll is hitting for Billy Napier that at some point in time, the axe is going to fall and he's going to be gone. But he can at least buy himself a stay of execution here by winning a game against a bad Mississippi State team that in reality may be one of the worst 30 teams in the country. And that's tough to say for an SEC team.
So listen, it's Jeff Levy's first year, right? First time as a head coach at Mississippi State. We get that. We'll give him maybe a pass at least through the first month. Billy Napier does not get – okay, that's fine. But Billy Napier does not get that. If Florida loses this game, even on the road in Starkville, as nearly a touchdown favorite, they are going to Lane Kiffin his tush. He's not getting back on the tarmac DRS. He's not even sniffing the charter plane back to Gainesville. He is getting canned right away. And as a favorite under Billy Napier since the start of 2022, the Gators are just 4-9 against the spread. Not great. Florida allowed more than 300 yards last week on the ground. Mississippi State let Tucker Gleason and Toledo throw for nearly three bills and three tuds last week. Toledo went into Stark Vegas, put up 41, and won outright as a hefty underdog against the Bulldogs. We love the Rockets, though, in the MAC on the way up. Quickly here, Zeno, as we look at the two top teams in the SEC, they have changed places in the AP poll. Texas now 1, Georgia now 2. Look how close they are from the odds perspective. Who do you still give the edge?
I mean, you can't doubt Georgia. Texas still has to prove it. Georgia is still a team that's going to get better as the year goes along. Interesting bounce back spot for them next week after the Kentucky game.
Georgia off this week. Texas has Louisiana Monroe. An off week then after, or Mississippi State after that. Then an off week before the Red River rivalry. Thursday night football thoughts next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thursday night football to kick off week number 3 of this NFL season, and Mark Zeno goes back from the mouth in the south to the mouth in the Northeast. It's where he's from. He's from Long Island. He loves the New York Jets. He's ready to go for Thursday night football as Gangrene plays host to the New England Patriots in a divisional duel. The Jets a 6.5-point home favorite, total 38.5 for this short week Thursday night football game. Rather large spread, nearly a touchdown, Zeno, in favor of New York. Pretty minimal total at only 38.5. How do you see Thursday night football playing out?
Well, let me just clarify. If the Giants weren't as bad as Florida is in college football, then I would, you know, tell everybody how much of a Giants fan I am. But I don't ever claim the Jets as my own. That said,
Fair enough.
I looked at tonight's game in a couple of different ways. One, the under feels right. This is a two offenses that don't really score a ton. The Jets have yet to amass 300 yards in either of their first two games. The Patriots only got 300 yards against Seattle because the game went to overtime. So these are two offenses that have a lot of issues right now. The New England Patriots have a ton of issues on the offensive line. But again, you look at that first half total at 19.5. That's the way I'm going to go. The Jets have only scored 7 points in each of the first half of their first two games. The Patriots scored 13 against the Bengals. That was a lot mostly because of Bengals turnovers and missteps in the first half of that game. It was a little more fast-paced against Seattle. Certainly, I get that, but Seattle's run defense is really bad, and that's the one thing the Patriots have done really well to this point in time. So, given the Jets' defense and their strength in the passing game, I think you'll see a lot of running up front despite the Patriots' woes on the offensive line. And the same thing for the Jets. I mean, we've seen them get better offensively as the game goes along. And as we start to see more games that the Jets play, I think their offense and Aaron Rodgers will start to get in a little bit more of a sink. Interesting to note, too, you see those team totals up there, guys? The Patriots team total in the first half is 7.5. That is an incredibly low number for any team in the first half of a, you know, game that's not a college game where Georgia's playing, you know, a team like, you know, Kent State, right? Like that's where you see that kind of first half total. So I look in that direction, like the first half under. Two quick props I'll throw at you. Hunter Henry over 3.5 receptions and Ramondre Stevenson over 16.5 rushing attempts.
Yeah, no, it looks good in that spot. If we're looking at that total, 38.5, we're not expecting a lot of explosive plays. When we look at the passing scenarios tonight, like Aaron Rodgers, of all people, 215.5 is his price here. Never would have saw that back in his Green Bay days. You look at Jacoby Brissett, 163.5. The touchdown prices for him to throw over 1.5 for Aaron Rodgers, plus 120. That's a plus money number. And also Jacoby Brissett, he doesn't even get the 1.5 mark. It's a half at a minus 160. If we're playing quarterback props, is there any way you would look between Rodgers and Brissett?
Jacoby Brissett to throw an interception. How's that sound? I mean, like,
there we go.
The strength is in their pass defense, right? I mean, the thing is that you're only going to get about 17 or 18 attempts for Brissett to do it. Like, Gerard Mayo is as Bill Belichickian as they come. The Jets run defense has given up 310 yards over the first two games. That's 155 per game. Why would I want to throw into Sauce Gardner in a good Jets secondary when I could just run up against a defense that's been gashed over the first 2 weeks, particularly, again, by a Titans team that doesn't necessarily do anything special in the ground game? You get San Francisco going off, but the Titans still had 130 yards in the ground. So I think you're not going to get many chances, but if you're looking at a quarterback prop, I would look at Jacoby Brissett to interception, or honestly, take Aaron Rodgers 2+ touchdowns and go in that direction and try to catch plus money. Because if he's going to have that kind of game, guess what? It's going to be a big game for him, but the idea for New England here is to slow this thing down, grind it to a halt, ask Brissett not to make many mistakes, and hope that the run game here is good enough. Remember, the Patriots' run defense, too, second best in the league through two games, only giving up 55 yards per game. Now, some of that in game one against the Patriots was – I mean, against the Bengals, rather, was that they were ahead the whole time. The Patriots had to throw a lot. So, but I would trust that Gerard Mayo, a Belichick disciple, you know, locks down the run game, forces teams to throw, and is willing to do the exact opposite. I'm going to run until I have to pass on the offensive side of the ball.
Very correlated in offensive scheme so far for New England. A lot of Ramondre Stevenson. He's had at least 21 attempts in each of the first 2 weeks. Jacoby Brissett's attempts prop tonight, 27.5. He has stayed under in each of the first 2 weeks, but he has played clean football. He has not thrown an interception. He is favored to not throw an interception at minus 140. Same for Aaron Rodgers, who did throw a pick week number one against San Francisco. Mark Zeno, you do it all, my man. From Midwest matchups in Oklahoma to a matchup here on a Thursday night in the Northeast in MetLife. We appreciate your time. Have a great football weekend. It starts tonight.
Same to you, gentlemen. Enjoy the college Saturday and the NFL Sunday.
Hey. Always a great time in this half hour. It goes swimmingly each and every time. Hour three up next on the Early Line.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.